www.thebrownsmedia.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is Mark Thompson, attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show, and I'm here with Matt Moreno, the county chair, Waukesha County chair of the Democratic Party. And we're talking about the April 5 elections, the results, and the lessons learned. Before the break, we're talking about Mayor Riley, who was very clear that the Republican Party had left him, and he didn't recognize it anymore. But he won despite being targeted by a real right winger with 66%. So, Matt, what else have we learned in April 5?
Yeah, using Mayor Riley as a good example, and I do want to correct myself, it was 64%. I know I will very likely be attacked by the Republicans if I get anything wrong, so I want to correct myself before they get the chance to correct me on a 2% error. Looking...
Well, all you folks, it's 64%, okay? Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Keeping in the idea of mayor, what we learned on April 5th is that Waukesha County really likes their nonpartisan, non-Republican, moderate, common sense mayors. So Waukesha City re-elected Mayor Riley, beating off a far right wing challenger. Going on to Brookfield, Mayor Ponto beat off another far right-wing challenger. And Mayor Ponto, for all of you guys listening who don't know, he actually was one of the only conservative mayors in the state to back Joe Biden's first COVID relief bill, the American Relief Plan. He publicly backed it, signed on to it with the White House, and that definitely made him a target. And he came through, again, handedly winning re-election. And then going out to Oconomowoc, where Mayor Mangus, he again was challenged by a far right wing incumbent who got support from, or a far right wing challenger who got support from the Waukesha Republicans, and once again, handedly won by over 10 percentage points. So the Waukesha Republicans are going to lean into the school board saying, we cleaned house. There's no chance Tony Evers is doing it. Democrats are out of touch. And they want to ignore the fact that the common sense non-Republican mayors from some of the biggest cities in Waukesha County voted for the non-Republican candidate, voted for the common sense, moderate, let's govern as adults and get stuff done mayor. And that's huge. And I think that speaks really well to what Democrats have going for us as we move toward November.
I think really, really important for me to understand, for folks to think about, because so much of what we're trying to do every day is sift through and figure out where is our road to democracy and is there hope for it and can we get there, right? Because I think I see a sense sometimes folks say like, no, no matter what I do, it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. And so what kind of feel was that in Waukesha and turnout? How do you sort of sum up this, you know, it's nonpartisan spring elections when there aren't any big races are always low turnout affairs. But what did you glean from April 5 in Waukesha?
Yeah, I mean, we were really happy to see Democratic turnout not really suffer much. We did pretty well compared to the 2021 race in terms of turnout. And we were really happy for that because without a big statewide race, you can definitely suffer some turnout numbers. But what we did also learn is that the Republican Party, when they spend in the neighborhood of $100,000, which is what we can estimate. We won't know for sure until finance reports in July come out and we see the exact number. But based on the number of direct mail pieces we saw, the digital ads, the digital content creation that they were putting out, and ignoring the fact that they had paid staffers on the ground working for these candidates, we're guessing somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000. They were able to drive their turnout up. And then that happens. It is what it is. But what we did see is that even with all the money, we were able to pull the highest percentage for a Democratic-supported candidate countywide in modern history. Judge Kornblum, in her Court of Appeals race, she got 40.4% of the vote in Waukesha County, being radically outspent by a fellow judge who lives in Waukesha County. You know, in a losing race in a district that is not very favorable when you run the partisanship numbers, she did extremely well. And that paints a really good picture to the county. And that is what I have been talking to our volunteers, our donors, our members about. Because if you, you know, let's roll back to 2010, the real, I think, time when Wisconsin politics changed. Tom Barrett running against Scott Walker in Waukesha County, 28.1%. Mary Burke in the following governor's election, 27%. And today we are pushing 40%. That's 13 percentage points in roughly 10 years. And that is why the Republican Party is so frightened by what's happening in Waukesha County, because this is their heartbeat. Could you imagine if Milwaukee or Dane County shifted 13 points to the Republicans over 10 years? There would be panic. There would be stories every day about Dems in disarray and how Wisconsin will forever be a red state. But in the heart of the Republican Party's base, we are shifting the number by 13 percentage points. So while they want to go on Fox News and claim victory, we're going to let data tell us the facts and know that we are the crucial swing county for Wisconsin. If we can continue to be the adults who want to govern without making everything about themselves, making everything about culture wars, making everything about stuff that doesn't matter to the everyday lives of average Wisconsinites, we're going to do it through Waukesha County, and Tony Evers is going to get reelected through Waukesha County, and we are going to beat Ron Johnson through Democrats and moderates in Waukesha County.
So why should people care, and where do we go?
Yeah, people, you know, we need to care. Just today, a story came out about Ron Johnson talking about how much money he has profited from a tax loophole he pushed for. Every day, we see Rebecca Clayfish and Kevin Nicholson and other Republicans running for governor spouting conspiracy theories, talking about how they want to roll back rights for different people, how they want to make voting harder. This is not stuff the average person cares about. They care about inflation. They care about rising gas prices. They care about the war in Ukraine. They care about COVID and how we're navigating that and what the world looks like moving past that. They want to know that as an elected leader, you're going to wake up every day and do what's best for Wisconsinites, not what's best for your political profile, or in Ron Johnson's case, his bank account. That is what's at stake. Everything going forward is at stake. If we have a Republican get into the governor's mansion, they're going to make it harder to vote. They are going to do everything they can to tip the balance of the next presidential election toward the Republican, which at this point is Donald Trump. They are going to make it easier for Donald Trump to get into the White House again. And how do we know their loyalty to Donald Trump? Well, they tell us, because they all fly to Mar-a-Lago to hang out with him and to ask and beg for his support. Even Tommy Thompson, who was considering getting back into politics, jumping into the governor's race, he flew to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring of the Republican kingmaker and ask for support, because there's no Republican who is still in the party who is above it.
You know, you mentioned Senator Johnson and how his bills created his own tax loopholes to benefit him personally. You know, I think sometimes, and this is a conversation I had, you know, before I became a lawyer, I was a steel worker for almost 9 years, eight and a half years in Indiana. high school dropout at the time when I started. And but I started in the steel mill. I had health insurance. I had a pension. Folks that worked could retire after 25, 30 years. And they were middle class. And, you're young and I'm older than you are, Matt. But I think a lot of people have forgotten sort of how the middle class got created and forget. There was a Republican president named Eisenhower, right, who talked about the danger of America was an industrial military complex that wanted to take over and not listen to folks. And I was at a discussion recently, dinner with some of my law school friends. In Marquette Law School, they're mainly Republicans, majority, I think, were Republicans. But they were not, I don't think, this far right Republican. And the move to the far right and Trump's kind of this myth of democracy, his really white power movement, turned off a lot of people. But in the discussion, we were having dinner, I said, you know, the middle class got created. You guys, you remember the tax, you know, if you were very wealthy, you got taxed at 90%, right? And that's where we had enough money that spread around for everybody to get better. And this Ron Johnson's view of like, you know, we don't want taxes, right? It's all about him keeping his money and not having the money out in the economy where we created a middle class. And we forgot about how to look upstairs and say, look, there is too much money upstairs, right? We need to move some of that money around. What are you hearing out there about that?
You know, when we're out talking to voters, you know, there's this myth Republicans push that Democrats hate rich people. We hate success. We hate capitalism. But that couldn't be farther from the truth. We support capitalism. We support people making their money. If you create something that changes the world, you deserve to be rich. But we can't do that leaving our entire nation behind.
Okay, Matt, we're going to come back, right? Because we're going to our last break here. And I want you to save that as we come back. Folks, you hear that? This young Democrat believes that people have the right to make money. And he's going to tell us, though, they shouldn't be able to keep it all for themselves and not duck being responsible. So come on back after the break, folks. This is the Paul Revere Show. We'll see you in a minute.